Welcome to our last episode of Trees and Lines at the Trees and Utilities Conference. We're super excited to have Kamran Rashid. He's a director in vegetation strategy and analytics at PG&E. Thank you for joining us, Kamran.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Kamran, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background. Let's get to know you a little bit with the audience.
Right. So my name is Kamran Rashid, and I have a master's degree in forestry from Pakistan. And then I did multiple certification, including ISA certified, utility specialist, track qualified by ISA, and safety certification, CUSP, CTSP.
Wow.
And I did a few other certifications. I'm not going to go on all of those. And I started my journey of utility vegetation management in 2001 as a utility forester. And some people call it a utility arborist. Nowadays, some people call it utility vegetation management inspectors, but all the same, basically planners planning the work ahead of the tree crews. And since then, I've been learning and doing this job and worked as a supervisor, as a manager, and operations manager, and then now I'm a director of vegetation and study analytics. In between, I stood up a lot of vegetation programs, such as we call the CIMA program, a tree mortality program in California. I stood up in 2014.
Wow. I know you were also a speaker here at the conference. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
And what were you focused on here? Like, what was your topic about?
My topic was business acumen. So one of the colleagues reached out is that, hey, a lot of people in our industry, they're always complaining about their budget, not having budget and not able to put their business case to say what needed to happen.
Yep.
So I start thinking, I'm like, yes, that is one of the thing we can help, or at least share our ideas how we can do this. And the topic, the main focus was when our lot of industry leaders, they come from the ranks from the pre-inspection companies or from the tree work. They are very good at in their identifying the trees, getting the tree work done, but sometimes struggle to bring the value and the business case to the management, to the decision makers, to present what is going to be, what is the benefit of it. So that was the key focus, to let them know you need to be very clear, you need to have a business case, you need to put together all your operational plan, then you need to say is that what this program is going to do, how this is going to reduce the risk, such as wildfire risk, how this is going to bring reliability, how this is going to bring public safety, and how this is going to help the infrastructure not to have a failure in the adverse weathers. And the list goes on. So every utility can be a different driver. If they can bring my colleagues and myself to present, like, this is the benefit I'm bringing, and then decision makers are making the decision because they have a full portfolio within a utility. They have a construction, they have a maintenance, they have a substation, they have a undergrounding, they have a generation. Long list.
Yeah.
Now they're making a budget. So this way you can have a fair analysis put on the table to make sure decision makers are fully informed which
definitely.
Risk you are going to lower or maintain or mitigate.
Yeah.
So that was the focus I was trying
to share. Oh, that's fantastic.
Our natural tendency when we seek continuing education is to educate ourselves in the stuff we like and we know. We should educate ourselves in what will make us successful, which is sometimes
that's fantastic.
That is very true. That was my very first slide. Going from a doer or a subject matter expert going to a manager or a leader, how to transition. So now you put a little bit different hat. You are not going to be looking on the trees whole day and prescribing. Now you facilitating and paving the path for your team to mitigate the risk. To do that, you need to have a stakeholders on board, other departments, communities, environmental organizations. You need everybody, internal and external stakeholders. You got to learn that skill, build that muscle, as Phil said, and you just shifting. At the same time, what you acquired in your early life on the subject matter expert about the trees, about the forest, that will be very handy time to time. But at the same time, you are in a little bit different world. You know, you're facilitating the work to get it done.
Was that a natural transition for you, or did that take some time for you to make that adjustment?
For me, I think transition started a little bit earlier. I was lucky because when I was doing my pre-inspection job, I got promoted after a few years to be operations manager under another consulting company. When I was that, I was given an area and I need to keep it compliant, work with the client at the same time, be profitable. So put my case in front of a client on the pricing and everything. My education started on this, I will say around 2005. So I was one of the lucky one, I can say. Sometimes it can be quick, you know. And the other thing is that when I did my master's, you know, and there was a subject about accounting, public policy, you know, some educational background helped me as well. And then additionally, keep coming, when I joined my utility, I work for Pacific Gas and Electric right now, and I got the opportunity to stand up a few of the programs, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And that helped me too, you know, to how, especially tree mortality, to put the risk on the table and let my upper management know and the stakeholder at state level, local level, like this is going to take this much effort. So it helped. I will not say it is a natural transition, but I think the scenarios helped me to get better at it.
We're all watching the very unfortunate events unfold in Maui. You know, PG&E has, over the last several years, has had to deal with a lot of very complex, you know, issues, etc. But that's allowed you guys to really grow and develop and really become very innovative and forward thinking on the wildfire risk mitigation side of things. Have other utilities that are now dealing with wildfires, did they reach out to you guys in sort of a mentorship capacity where you can share learnings and strategies to help them navigate what they're going through at the moment?
Definitely, you know, first of all, very tragic incident.
Very,
you know,
tragic.
Still watching it.
Yeah.
And
very
praying
sad.
For everybody's safety there.
100%.
And well-being. And so on, environmental changes are affecting everybody on the globe. Some part of the world is getting affected more, relatively speaking. I'm in a relative terms. And for that, and I was in Australia, so I got an invite there on their Arbor National Conference to talk about our journey, how we are adjusting. The topic was the word with one of my other colleagues we presented is adaptive vegetation management. How we need to adapt. We cannot continue to do what we used to do. We need to adapt. Environment is changing. Tree mortalities are going at a different level. And the weather condition, rains patterns are changing. So the direct answer is other utilities reaching out to us. Definitely they are reaching out to us. We are reaching out to the other ones too. I was making a lot of connection here to understand how is everybody doing and what people seeing. And one thing I will say, you know, even my presentation, I dedicated a one of the slide on the benchmarking. I'm like, hey, don't feel like you know everything or you need to know everything. We are human beings. Lot of industry leaders are there. We need to learn from their experience and what they dealt with and then put the pieces together. You can travel. Nowadays, technology, you can do a meetings online or even send an email questionnaire. You know, I use all of those and some other utilities are doing with us too. So we are learning together from each other.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
And even utilities outside of the fire-prone area, what we think of fire-prone areas today, need to be watching and learning because the fire-prone area of America is getting bigger and bigger.
Definitely, that's what I say. Climate change can give you a lot of surprises.
Oh, yeah, for
having
sure.
A hurricane in San Diego last month, you
that,
don't
that was
expect
a surprise.
That
yeah,
things,
that's right.
You know, like having clouds over Eastern California, smoke clouds, you know, not real clouds, coming from the Canadian side. That is kind of something new, you know. So in even United States, there are areas where you never thought the fire will happen, but still people start thinking in these states like how this is changing. Things are changing rapidly. What it takes is 1 year of big change in a drought or not rains on time and condition when it picks up. The other thing I want to highlight is, one thing is that what is happening in the forest. The other thing is the growth on construction side. A lot of our houses and all these are new subdivisions are going towards more wilderness. And once the fire enter any of the residential or built areas, you know, the material we use and everything, that is increase the fire, you know. The firefighters have a hard time. I think that it just need to be a holistic approach, you know. Definitely vegetation management is a piece. A lot of other pieces are there for electric company and other utilities. And also, I think there need to be an innovation. People, expert, all the must be thinking how in the new developments can be more fire protected or, you know, so better resilient. That is another angle I think our industry need to start highlighting and work with that industry.
All right. So in your current role, your lens and some of the things that you're thinking about, you mentioned you also oversee data analytics. Can you maybe share with us some of the tools and the technologies that you guys are considering or currently utilizing that helps you take a little bit more of a proactive, informed approach?
Definitely. So again, what we are doing, I have a few, you know, team member dedicated to that. I have a data scientist as well. So we are looking data from everywhere possible. Some is very new technology, such as we have a LiDAR. We have, I will bundle it together like remote sensing. We can call it, it's a satellite. There is a photogrammetry, you know, there is ortho imagery. Some you can collect by yourself, and some open sources are available, or you can buy. So the other layers we have is that data available. NOAA have a lot of data. So that is open source. Government is given. NASA have a lot of data. You can go there. A lot of universities, you know, a lot of government agencies have a data. We pull the, such as you want a moisture contents, you know, weather pattern, a lot of open source data. Then you have your own utility data. You collect it. Then you have your historic pattern of outages, ignitions, and then other failure patterns. And then you know the tree density. And then you have a subject matter expert. They can tell you the consequence models there. We bring in all layers of data to narrow it down to so where we can do more work. And that is our mission. We have a multiple layers of our controls. We have our routine program. We have a mid-cycle, or we call second patrol. Then we are trying to do more targeted approach to go above and beyond. Again, as I said, that is vegetation management is one of the tool. I'm talking about mitigating the ignitions now. And then you have, you know, public safety power shutoff. You have, we have a EPSS, enhanced power shutoff, undergrounding, overhead strengthening. So there is a lot of other tools in the toolbox we are applying.
Right. Yeah, you guys definitely employ a really unique portfolio strategy of options where, you know, they're all kind of working together. I know that you guys have made incredible progress and, you know, with the system and with your customer engagement and, you know, technology development, all that sort of thing. For you specifically, what are some of the things that keep you up at night that you're still trying to refine, trying to solve for, outside of just overall broad refinement, what are some of the specific challenges that are really kind of at the forefront for you?
The biggest thing is that what I don't know. So that,
welcome to the team.
Yeah. So that, you know, to be honest, you know, whatever is possible, what I know,
yeah,
we try, you know,
yeah, yeah,
we try that, and our open management support that, and even our state is supporting us. And our communities are, you know, supporting. Community wants to be safe. And there is a time, you know, there can be a, everybody's intention is to mitigate the wildfire risk. But when we are coming to the plan, there can be a differences, you know. We need to work with each other to make sure we go to the same goal at the same pace, what everybody's liking. But what keeps me up, what I don't know, what can slip through, you know, and Is my thinking enough? That is the reason I reach out to so many people on this. You know, are you doing any new pilot? Are you thinking something new? And we do benchmark and I keep asking the industry, you know,
yeah,
what else is there?
So there's lots of peer-to-peer engagement.
Yes.
And got it.
definitely.
Yeah, you have so many stakeholders, external stakeholders that are actively engaged in helping you.
Definitely. They are, as Phil said, you know, we have internal stakeholders from multiple angles. They're looking, they're giving feedback. And their intention is also shared intention, you know, to avoid outages and ignitions.
Yeah.
But, you know, so as I said, when we put together a plan, there can be difference of opinion, but end goal is everybody is marching towards like how to mitigate the wildfire risk.
Cameron, you have such a varied background and such a fresh perspective on learning and broad learning and growth. One of the interesting things about our viewership is we have lots of young people coming into the profession, and they seem to really gravitate towards the personalities that join us on this podcast, and they're very curious about career decisions that, let's say, you've made along the way. If you were sitting in front of, you know, an auditorium of young vegetation professionals, how would you counsel them? What guidance would you give them in terms of their career decision making as they're moving through their professional careers?
The first thing I will say when the young people are coming, that is an opportunity being young.
Yeah.
You know, we are not getting younger.
Yeah.
When you are young, learn as much you can.
Yes.
Be humble.
Yes.
Don't just like look like, you know, everybody wants to climb. Nothing wrong with that. But when you want to climb, make sure, you know, you look far ahead where you want to go. And you look just ahead of you. You're not looking too far out. You're missing a ditch in front of you, you know. And look left and right too. You know, what are the opportunities? Education is the key. Experience is the key. Diverse experience is the key.
Oh, so very well
look,
said.
You know, like multiple angles within that industry, and then decide. And mentorship, look some good mentors. People are available in the industry. They want to mentor people. And then make a decision at the right time to climb to the next level, and then learn about that next level. What is the demand? Because where you were or where he or she was doing, and the next level may be different. The demand is going to change. If I'm an inspector, now I'm a supervisor. It's coming whole lot new things, responsibility, taking care of employees, be fair with everybody. You need some HR help. So as you keep going up, so I will say keep applying these. Be humble, be patient, and listen. And once you are in a leadership, you know, even like a lowest leadership level, so then get feedback and then take that as a gift, you know. You like it or not, think about why somebody thought about you like that. So sometimes we got like, oh, why he or she, so because they don't. No, why he or she said that. Digest that and get better. And then if somebody gives you good or bad feedback, go back to them. And you don't have to agree on everything what somebody said. At least you need to have your own logic and reasons, you know. And a lot of time, what I have seen, you know, in hindsight, I'm like, yeah, this person gave me a feedback, you know, that was good, because at the moment what I was thinking or doing, I was maybe blindsided, you know. So that is another key point there. So be humble, be listening, and make sure closing the loop. Don't just, doesn't matter which position you are, once there is a feedback, listen, think, and then go back, close the loop.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, you said if you're a young person out there, find a mentor. Right. Yeah, and I'm going to guess I'd turn that around and suggest to so many of our listeners that have been around for 15 or 20 years, be a mentor. Find people that you can help develop.
Definitely. In this industry, I think, as Phil said, we need to encourage the young generation to find a mentor, and people who are experienced. I you know, like Phil, for example, I reached out to him a few times, you know. I'm like, Phil, I need help. So you've been in the industry, you have a PhD, you did a lot of work in this. How I can do this? He connected with me, people, you know, like facilitated. And again, I second that, what you said. You know, we need more and more mentors who can help.
I feel like you've taken on a variety of roles. Earlier when you were describing your trajectory, it felt like a lot of that happened inside of PG&E, a lot of movement that you've had. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the flexibility that you have in your organization to be able to like try different things and move from different asset classes. Tell us a little bit about the PG&E culture and how that sort of functions.
PG&E is, as you know, it is a big company, and a lot of departments, a lot of opportunity. Prior to joining PG&E, I worked for a peer inspection company. I did my multiple roles there. You know, I was an inspector. Then there is a role we call, like, I don't know what every company called, but the role is to going like a tags or refusals, you know. That takes a little bit more patience and interpersonal skills. You're trying to convince the customer you need to do it. Then I was a supervisor, then operations manager, training, learning. When I got in PG&E, so that opened up a lot more doors too, you know, because PG&E have so many different departments, you know, because it's specific gas and electric.
Yes.
These are the two main things. Then there is a lot of other organizations who are supporting
yes.
the delivery, the generation, you know, customer service. So on that, I majority of my time is wedge management. And the opportunity I got, as I said, adaptive vegetation management. When the drought hit, that gave me opportunity. My company tapped me on the shoulder. Hey, you need to stand up a new program. We need to deal with it. Governor declared state of emergency. Opportunity came through that, you know, the situation. So then later on, when I stood up that, I got the opportunity. I managed that. And then I got opportunity to be a senior operations manager to run the whole operations for vegetation management. Opportunities come if you do patience, you do a good work, you're being recognized. That is the one way the opportunity comes. The other one is you keep your eyes open, look for mentors within the org, outside of your org from vegetation management. I did spend a year or over a year in electric operation safety. I was very curious, you know, how I can help to be more safe. I got an opportunity, I did that, and then I got there, I'm like, okay, I have experience in vegetation management safety, I have a certification, but how about broader utility safety? So I was able to do CUSP, to do, because I'm in a safety, I need to be learning how to be watching people, how to contribute.
Yes.
So that helped me to go there, get more humble,
yes.
to get a perspective in a different workforce. Then what I'm doing today, that was also the need. So I came in here, so there was like, we need to set a strategy, long-term, short-term. We need to depend on analytics, so we're doing the right thing. Again, as I said, you know, opportunity can be you looked at it or you looking outside. It can be both ways.
Yeah.
Well, this was an absolute pleasure to sit down and chat with you today. Let's find some more time and
for
continue
our audience,
the discussion.
All hell's broken loose on the
Thank you. This
is
a pleasure. So. Thank you so much. Thanks, Cameron.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Trees and Lines, brought to you by Iapetus Holdings. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify. If you have any questions or comments on any of our episodes or ideas for topics or guests, we'd love to hear from you. Please contact us at treesandlines@iapetusllc.com. We'll chat with you soon.